Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get shungite to the masses. You are entering the shungite zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to Shungite Reality Show. It is February 24, 2026. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. It's been a couple of weeks since we've done a show, and we're glad to be here. I hope everybody in the country that's hearing this is not snowed in. They're having that terrible snowstorm, and I had to laugh my family up in Massachusetts. They sent me a bunch of pictures, and I'm looking at them, and I have a sister-in-law who's almost my age. I said, "Barbara, when we were younger, wasn't this a normal thing in wintertime? Why are they so freaked out?" And she says, "Well, you and I remember it, but they don't." And then my brother lives in Providence, and they got 4 feet of snow. 4 feet, I don't remember, but 2 feet was a normal type of thing. So I hope you're all safe. There's a lot of people without electricity. And trust me, I think I'd rather go against a hurricane with no electricity, because at least it's warm. It's not cold if you lose it. But Derek, I'm going to, why don't you say hi to everybody and maybe tell them where you are with the store and the transfer of everything. And then Mark's got a few questions that he wanted to talk about. So,
yep. Derek. No, sounds good. No problem. Good morning, everybody. At least it's morning here. What she's talking about is, for those that don't know, our physical store, Mystical Wares, has, I'll just put it this way, transformed and moved locations and is now called Bigfoot's Gems. It's still located in Mount Vernon, Washington, and people can find the website and more information at bigfootsgems.com, where they can also now see a collection of a photo gallery I uploaded yesterday of the inside of the store. So we did notice, Nancy pointed out, that for some reason you can't zoom in, at least from the browser. But if you download the image, you should be able to then. But regardless, there are images of the interior now that shows the whole array of items we offer, including the what's got to be the largest shungite area or section, I'm not sure what to call it, in really any store, I would think, of all the various types. And I think in that one photo, if you look at it, you can see three of our six shungite spheres that are the size of bowling balls. So they're 11, 12 inch diameter, so across. Yeah, so that happened. So we're up and running over here now. So if you're local, you know, come see us. But the Mystical Wares online store, as I've mentioned before, that transformed into Cosmic Shungite. So cosmicshungite.com. And that's where you can find our products. And, you know, we ask that you be patient right now because of the transition and a lot happening from both physical and online locations. Some of the products aren't available right now. They will be coming back. For example, things like shungite soap and a few other items, as soon as we, you know, catch our footing over here, but they're not gone. So check back. But that's what's happening as far as Bigfoot's Gems. I don't know if you had any questions regarding that, Nancy and or Mark. But before I even kind of pause there again, Mark, you brought up Moldavite, and I actually had, and I don't know if we want to jump into that right now, but I guess we kind of are. Yeah. Because and I don't even know what Mark was talking about yet, but we're going to get into that in a moment. But what's coincidence, you know, not really never coincidence, is a couple people this week came into Bigfoot's Gems talking about Moldavite. Some looking for it, some lost it, some telling me the effects on their significant others and things like that. So what did you come across with, Mark, regarding Moldavite first?
I listened to this guy that Michael Jaco, he has a Unleashing Intuition podcast interviewed a few times. He wanted to make like this Moldavite pyramid or something. Now that obviously that'll cost crazy amounts of money, but in terms of usage, it seems to increase energy, cause, as opposed to like shungite that is more for grounding. But yeah, I was wanting to see if your physical or online shop has Moldavite in like a pendant or necklace format, or what formats you guys have of it that you're selling. But it's in interesting contrast of these quote unquote high frequency stones versus grounding ones, and how do you balance that? So it's a good interplay, and then maybe you can maybe give us some examples, testimonials, or just your general layout of that, because your Shanghai book does mention some of those things.
Yeah, that's a good question because the Moldavite, it does. So shungite has a tapering effect, meaning, we can come up with all kinds of words to describe the energy effects. But yeah, calming, tapering, that's a shungite, some words you could use for that because it evens things out. Now, Moldavite, oh, wow. Yeah, that's like, I'm trying to think of a way to do this. Let's say you had a stereo system and you had access to the treble, the equalizer, the bass, and all that. It's like all of a sudden feeling the energy or music, and then your treble, which would, so not just the bass, the thumping part, but the treble, the heightened portion, again, odd things to talk about, gets cranked up all the way instantaneously. Not always bad, not it's not or good or bad. So it's like anything else, it's for some. And for some in moments, I'm talking about Moldavite itself or the energy it has an effect on, because it's not really giving you an energy, it's heightening your perception of those frequencies around you. And that's what any of these stones are doing. So some have, again, it's always a play of words and how we're describing this, but really, air quotes here, energy, all the frequencies, tones, things, they're everywhere all the time. It's just whether our antenna, our vehicle, our body is perceiving them or tuned into them at the time. So that's a better way of looking at it, I think, than I've heard explained other ways, at least in my opinion. Because then we have ways of partitioning that out into pieces and parts and talking about it kind of thing. So yeah, the Moldavite does open up your energy field enough so you're getting a whole lot in. And okay, if that's what you're looking for, great. A lot of people see it as overwhelming. So to jump analogies here, some people like, medium to mild hot sauce kind of things. Well, this is the extreme one. They want the three peppers on the jar kind of thing. So different uses for different things. And then Moldavite, you had mentioned somebody made, so I'm going to give, for those that aren't familiar with Moldavite, and I have a guy that, and he's actually a geologist that goes out and collects it himself. He has to pan through the desert in a certain area, and there's a whole thing to that. I'm not going to bore you with all that, but it's just not found everywhere. And when it is found, it's in little tiny pieces. So at best, the size of your fingernail, really, to be honest. And they're green-ish, different hues of them, and you can, they're not translucent, but opaque. So you can shine a light through them, and they're usually kind of look like, if you know it, raw, it'd be plaster gold, but gold. So rough edges. It's not usually a, I mean, there's a somewhat smoother surface, but still there's the peaks and valleys and stuff. So not a tumbled stone like you might visualize. So they're really small and stupid expensive because it's getting
Let
harder.
me
Go ahead.
jump in here because Moldavite only comes from Czechoslovakia,
Yep, exactly.
and that's because it was hit with a meteorite, and when it hit, it combined with the unique soil in the area to create a unique piece of a meteorite. And your description of it is absolutely on, but that's what you find now. When I first got introduced to it, which was back in, oh my heavens, I think it was back in about 90, 94, 93, there were bigger pieces of it. I went to a mineral fair, and it was a lot of Native Americans. I learned more about minerals in the 4 days I attended it than any time before that. But there was one guy, and he had these two, well, it probably at least a foot long by half a foot, trays. And they just were covered with moldavite, both of them. And I'd never seen it before. I was a novice at minerals, and he started telling me the history of it and what it was and basically what he understood about it. And then he said to me, but and he looks around, he goes, I want to show you the real moldavite. And he pulled out a third tray that had some real big chunks. And it was not excessively expensive. I mean, I didn't have very much money at all, but I did buy moldavite, including a moldavite ring that was just a silver ring with a piece of moldavite that was probably a half an inch by half an inch. It was somewhat work to be able to get it into the fixture, but basically, it wasn't a ring. Excuse me, it was a bracelet, and I put that on. I wore that for many years. But what happened, oddly enough, was that the moldavite that was in the fixture got smaller and smaller. And I finally took it off because I was afraid I was going to lose the moldavite. Now, if that was a thing about moldavite, then maybe we only find the small ones because for whatever reason, their energy might be, I don't know, being absorbed by the planet or something. Or they've just found everything they can find that's big and now they're into the small stuff. But back, oh, probably turn of the millennium type thing. I mean, two into 2000. It might have been that far into it, but the Chinese went in and bought up all the moldavite they could, all of it, and all of a sudden, moldavite became extremely expensive. Now, what the heck the Chinese did with it, I don't know because I never did see it come on the market from China. So I don't know if they knew something about moldavite that might have been something in a technology kind of thing, because they're always finding things in meteorites and they go, oh my God, we're using this stuff or we've never seen this stuff. And there's things that are very mysterious about any of the meteorite pieces you get. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted people to understand that it is another meteorite. Like Shungite's a meteorite, and there's no discussion about it. Why? Well, because the only place on Earth that you see that much C60 in a moldavite is shungite. I mean, in a mineral is shungite. And where do you get shungite if it's not on the planet? I mean, the C60 when it's not on the planet. Well, according to NASA back in 19, the most prevalent molecule in interstellar space is C60. So the only place you can get something that's full of C60 is if it went through interstellar space and fell on Earth. So, when you hear other descriptions of what it could be, I think that fact alone is what tells me, no, it was a meteorite. And plus the fact that it busted apart, it's 800 square miles, but it's all over the place. So, yeah. Was there a question about mold about why did you get interested in again? Is people are starting to, oh, the pyramid guy. Yeah, I don't know where you'd find enough of it.
Yeah, that's and technically moldavite's a tektite. So it's when a meteorite hits Earth and they blend and it made a glass. So yeah, and it's relatively brittle, so it can wear down and get smaller. So for some of the pieces that are inlaid in silver, Well, if you take baths or showers or get soap and oils on it and stuff, that can affect it. And then it'll shrink and then pop out of its setting, things like that. For those that wears jewelry, that's fine. And you can rinse it off real quickly. But don't take baths, showers, jump in a pool, extended water. So that's a thing with Moldavite. And usually it's set in silver, not gold or anything like that. All the stuff we get is in silver or just raw.
Or maybe it migrates into the silver. Nobody would have known to look at that. I mean, the silver migrating into it. So it's not so much the stone itself, but the fixture itself is getting thinner. Who knows?
Yeah, if it was that, then they'd probably be popping out of our pendants that are in rings and stuff in our display cases. But it's after people get them home and they wear them for months. Sometimes, and I'm not saying it happens all the time, but that has happened. It depends on the piece, how it's set. Because if it's like set in silver where a little piece of silver arm grabs onto this certain chunk of the Moldavite and blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, things wear. And the whole point of the Moldavite is because it is translucent, a greenish glass, basically. I mean, you want to take advantage of showing that. So then the back end of the jewelry is usually open, so light can pass through, just like for diamonds. So Moldavite's interesting. The other one was a person brought one back only because I didn't pop out of its setting or anything, but it was just too much energy. She had sat it next to her husband's side of the bed, apparently, and instant gave him a headache. So no matter if we're talking about Moldavite having that effect on somebody or shungite or quartz crystal or whatever, it's all loosely an energy detox or evening out. So it's not that it's zapping you with bad energy, and it's not the rock for you necessarily. It's more so of, you know, little bit at a time. Don't overdo it, sort of thing. Like stick your toe in the water, get it away from you. If for some reason you're intuitively led to be around it, or it comes up in your travels on the internet and blah blah blah. Well, I mean, maybe something you should sample, but not take a full serving of it. And just a different room. So people that if that comes up in someone's thoughts, well, you can just walk. You don't have to like take it back to the store. Just walking into a different room and put it in there for a while. Just don't have it within your biofield or your aura, you know, as far as your arm can reach. Get it further than that if you're wanting to have it, you know, still keep it, but not have it with you all the time. Because, I called it a hot sauce. You don't put extra hot sauce on everything. It doesn't work that way, usually. But yeah, Mark, did you have any questions about Moldavite or anything you heard in those podcasts you're talking about that you wanted to bring up?
Oh, no, just mentioning that it wasn't in your book, but as far as what you have in your store, do you have any kind of necklace, pendant, Moldavite thing I might be interested in getting?
Oh, yeah, we have. Yeah, and I'll have to, I don't know that we have none of that online for a couple of reasons, but we do have it in store. So when we have Moldavite, we have it now in pendants and earrings, and I think a ring. But as far as rings, you know, they're pretty small, so they wouldn't fit any larger fingers, or even average size fingers for that case. But yeah, we have them in pendant form and I think earrings, and even that. So for those listening, if you can only find this certain, you know, in this case Moldavite or whatever rock or stone or mineral you want it in a jewelry form, well, put it in a little pouch in your pocket or something, put it in a baggie around your neck, a little leather pouch I'm kind of talking about, not a Ziploc. But that's still a way to get that energy in your field. And, you know, because maybe you'll just see that certain stone in a bracelet and you're not a bracelet person. Well, shove the bracelet in your pocket. It still works. It doesn't have to be around your wrist. So that's just something that, you know, doesn't occur to some people that they can do.
Yeah, if you could send me pictures of the ring and the necklace pendants, I'd be interested. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get you shots of those. And we'll jot a note down right now.
I wanted to read this thing here on since you have the products. I mean, or maybe you could tell us what's best to do. This X post on a hot shower is a chlorine gas chamber for your lungs. In addition to the residual chlorine exposure, hot showers out gas disinfection byproducts called trihalomethanes, which are carcinogenic. Shower water is subject to drinking water standards, but the main route of exposure is inhalation. What is it in your store that we can use in like our house faucets and we call it the shower head? because you do sell the rocks and then the magnets, but what do you recommend?
Yeah, and that actually opens a bigger topic because, yeah, usually you don't hear people talking about, they talk about drinking water and this, that. Yeah, okay, well, and usually it's not good drinking water for a lot of reasons, and that's a whole podcast in itself or more for how they clean it, what they put in it. I mean, things like that. And then, yeah, you're breathing it, and we've talked about this before, and 26 seconds, whatever is on your skin, and that includes shower water. And I know you talked about breathing in, inhaling it, but even that, your skin is a sponge. It is absorbing that water. So you're bringing it in many ways, especially in a shower, because yeah, you're breathing it, which means you're drinking it. It's entering your body through your lungs and through your stomach as well. You're breathing air in and through the skin. So what we do, and as I mentioned earlier, the Shungite soap is off right now. But really, the Shungite soap is a good detox because you're not going to avoid the water unless just don't take baths or showers or you have some, you know, great source for it. So then it's more about limiting its harmful effect on you. And that's having, you know, Shungite around you and in there, the Shungite soap in this case we're talking about. But then definitely Shungite water beads in your beverages. And I will add on, don't let the, because they could now come with a, I don't even know what it's called, but a little chain that usually comes with tea bags and things so you can hang the water beads from your the lip of your cup. Just don't let that, the S-hook go in there because that's not intended to be in the water. And you can always just disconnect the chain, by the way, everyone, and just toss the beads in there like normal if you want. We're just adding another option so you didn't have to kind of fish out the beads. But go ahead.
I have to disagree with you because in my house, where the turnoff valve is for the house, the water thing, it happens to be inside the house, which is convenient. I put a Shungite magnet on it. Once it goes through that valve, all the chlorine comes out of the water very quickly. I mean, they've tested Shungite will take chlorine out of the water. So by the time it gets to the shower, you don't have chlorine. And I know this because of my nose. You know, you used to turn it on, and down here in Florida, it's kind of heavily chloride. And you used to be able, I don't care when it was, you'd always have a slight smell of the scent of the chlorine, but not when you've got the Shungite on it. Now, one day I went in and I went, whoa, I'm smelling chlorine. What's happening here? And that was because sometimes they dump a bunch of chlorine in the system to clean out everything. And it went away very quickly. I actually killed a bunch of fish because they did that. They don't warn you they're going to do that. And I changed their water and, you know, I realized it was chlorine and killed them. I mean, it was like, I was so irate, but what are you going to do? You can't fight town, not city hall or whatever they call it. So I really do believe in that. And the other thing that makes me think that just by having the magnet on the main pipe that's coming in, you clear the water that's passing through it, is the fact that I always had a microwave here, not to cook anything except a sponge. Because even though the sponge looks perfectly clean, it begins to pick up this terrible odor that if you don't take care of it, it's disgusting. But what I learned was that microwaving it on a regular basis kept that from happening. Once I put the Shungite magnet on the system, I never had to put it in a microwave again. It never developed that scent, which means that it's killing everything that's coming through the water that would then be able to grow in your sponges, basically, in my opinion. So I really do think that, yes, it's very important. You know, some of this stuff we haven't been able to prove because we haven't really tested it. A lot of the things that we said over the years has been heavily scientifically tested. And one of those things is it does take chlorine out of the water. So That's just my input. Mark, now are you confused?
No, that makes sense. I mean, Derek, you do have a science paper page on cosmic shungite. But what can we use again from your store? I mean, for me, I have, I think what I've used over the years, because I've been with you guys since 2019, is three rocks on the faucet, just taping it. And I have the silver shungite magnet also taped. That's another thing. Or like when I go travel in hotel rooms, I have the bracelets, cosmic silver bracelets I put over the faucet and tip in the shower head. I assume that's going to be enough.
But, oh, the bracelets are a good idea. Putting them over the faucet head and whatnot, too. That's a really good idea that you can do. And then, yeah, I mean, even the laminated stickers are good for travel. So the silver shungite stickers are, you know, especially laminate ones, they'll last longer and or laminate your own. But yeah, you can take those with you, put them, you know, under mattresses. You don't have to have a big piece of shungite rubber necessarily. And you can even put the shungite sticker under your drinking vessel or the coffee pot or something like that if you're in a room that has one of those. So that's a good idea. And then, I mean, there's this shungite skin creams and things like that that you can use topically. But there's always, I mean, if you're even in water, so let's say you're not in your own house to where you've already put shungite nuggets on things and or magnets or however you did it, or it's a water turn off valve. Well, let's say you're in a public pool, a public, you know, anything. So that's where it's not, or you go to the gym and you shower there. So then, you know, they might look at it a lot if you go sticking a shungite bracelet over the shower head in the gym. But I would definitely have one on your body, just, you know, wearing it. So that's one of the things that can be done if you're in a non-home location or something like that, or a friend's house, because you're not exactly going to find the water inlets at a friend. Usually, I mean, some are open to that, I guess, but typically, you know, it's you just kind of take care of yourself at that moment. So, you know, shungite jewelry is usually my go-to, or I actually wearing as typically a cosmic silver shungite 6-day tumble pendant around my neck in the little cloth pouches we sell some of them in.
Yeah, can you differentiate for us the 3-day versus the 6-day versus the 9-day?
Yeah, I do. And that's loose too, because again, it's like talking about not a concrete thing, because everything varies on everyone. But the 3-day, so we're talking about, I'm going for the listeners here, the cosmic silver shungite, which is any shungite that I put through I won't get too much in the process, but it is a hexagon shaped rock tumbler. And where they tumble for, and Mark mentioned the 3 days, either 3 days, 6 days, or 9. And the tumbling medium is little tiny, just hundreds of them, little silver bars. They're little 1 gram pure silver bars, or 99.9%. And then there's some silver coins in there. So you basically, you want a combination for the tumbler of the, it's called tumbling medium, how it moves through there for different size nuggets. So we tumble them, and when we pull it out after 3 days, I use that one typically for, and I'll describe it as the initial one, clearing, again, the excess energies. And I'm not saying that regular shungite doesn't have an effect, because it does greatly. But as we've talked about before, Nancy, Mark, all of us, there is an additional benefit to that add-on frequency of silver blended with shungite. So, and that's what we call cosmic silver shungite, like I said. So the 3-day one is the good, the warm bath, the one that'll help just get off the excess and overages, as I kind of talked about earlier, the initial stuff. So you can kind of even out and kind of meet your, or match your medium energy wise, I'm talking about. So if there's things called stresses, anxieties, depression, those are all frequencies. You can't see a pile of stress in the middle of the room, or a piece of depression, or, and I know everybody knows that. So it's an energy, which is a frequency, of course, when you break it down. And shungite has an effect on just diminishing those, making them less, I guess you can almost say tangible, because it is a sense, you can feel them. So that's what I use the 3-day for kind of earthing, grounding, go kind of quickly there. And then the 6-day tumble. So then, yep, I leave those nuggets in that tumbler for an additional 3 days and then remove them. And then that's the one I'm wearing right now. And that one, I, again, I have to talk about loosely, but think more physical healing then, because you've already had the 3 day one. It's kind of evened you out, got off the excess stuff. So now to be the perfect you physically, energetically, emotionally, because that's their normal state of being. It's not in disruption, which is what all the frequencies, the Wi-Fi's, the 5G's and all that stuff is doing to us, and chemicals. That goes on and on as well. But with the 6 day, if you start using that one and your intention and or imagination, and just know that you're already healed, you're already calm, you're already less stressed, you know, however you want to play those energies, that's what that one's really good for. So I'm wearing a 6 day because I've been just going through a lot here, lifting, I'll just say lots of heavy objects. Like I mentioned earlier, moving or changing stores. So moving furniture and just lots of stuff. So I've tended to wear the 6 day one. Now, if I leave it in the nuggets for 3 more days to the 9 day point, so then they're 9 day tumbled cosmic silver shungite nuggets, those I tend to use for maybe during a session. So if I'm doing a remote session with a client and I'm doing a lot of metaphysical work or energy healing or physical healing, even that for another, I'm just talking about my case, but you can do it for yourself as well. The 9 day, or if I'm, let's say someone meditates, they do focus session. There's lots of names for this stuff. That's where I would recommend the 9 day one to come in. Because it's going to kind of, you've already, again, I referenced our body as an antenna. So you've already cleaned the excess stuff off the antenna with the 3 day. And then the 6 day, you've kind of straightened it back out so that you're in tune or in alignment again with whatever you want or are focused on. And then the 9 day kind of helps you then bring in what you're focusing on or your intentions and things like that. So I hope that kind of made sense. Again, there's lots of ways of talking about it, but that's how I typically use them.
Yeah, thank you. And then for traveling, you know, there's a lot of VOCs and other, I don't know what the word is, inhalants that are in the hotel room, like the bed, it not being organic. They do release some kind of, what do you call it, chemicals. And what I've done intuitively was put a silver shungite magnet on anything that sticks, like a screw on the bed, so that any kind of metal springs that would affect, you know, being on the mattress and eliminating the any off-gassing. Or what would you recommend as far as packing that furniture?
Yeah, what I do is I usually bring a piece of the 5x7 shungite rubber. So it's, again, the cosmic silver shungite rubber, where we blend in the shungite and the silver powder into the non-toxic rubber. And then it's kind of like a mouse pad. And again, I'm saying it for the listeners. And you can take that with you. And then I stick mine typically just in my pillowcase or something like that, or, you know, depending on what's convenient. Because then it's right up next to you as well. And it's not that you have to have every piece of air flow over the shungite or anything like that, because it's all energy. And again, for the listeners. So it's like turning on your radio in that room. Well, it's not like that radio signal's of any perceivable amount stronger in that corner of the room to this corner. No. So you can have an effect on it by having shungite, again, just, and I'd have it near your body, again, near your aura biofield, for the strongest effect. But it will affect all of the energies in that room. And that's what brings back what Nancy was talking about. Just having the magnets and or nuggets in some cases. I think, Mark, you'd use nuggets around the water pipes and things. Yeah, it doesn't have to touch the water. It can, hence shungite water beads. But either way, it's going through the energy environment. That pipe, probably galvanized steel or something, that's coming to Nancy's house, or I don't care if it's PVC, it's not separating the energies from that shungite she has on there. That's why she's having such an effect, because they are all blending. It's and or, again, having an effect on each other. So I would use shungite rubber, like I mentioned, especially in Because you don't even know if they wash their sheets. Well, hopefully they washed their sheets in the hotel. But either way, well, there's chemicals in that laundry soap, and it's usually not great stuff. And then even that, I think you're going to jump into glyphosate again at some point. But, well, there's water in most drinking, or glyphosate in much or most drinking water, which means laundry water, which means, yes, those things get into your sheets, your pillowcases, stuff like that as well. Those particles. So the little plastics, that's all been measured. I forget what they call them, microplastics or something. Yeah, they're found not just in the water. I mean, the things the water goes on. So wash your freshly peeled vegetable in that water. Well, guess what it just absorbed. So yeah, there's always something I would do. So real quickly on the vegetable one, if you're doing that, what I do is you use your water. We filter it, of course, from the 3D level as well with RO and carbon and a UV treatment, believe it or not. But then if you're doing the vegetables, throw some water beads in your, I'm visualizing a big glass bowl, or maybe you're cleaning a bunch of berries, let's say. Ozone them. Get a relatively cheap ozone machine online, you know, 50, 60 bucks. It looks like a little plant bubbler. Stick it in there for a few minutes and you'll ozonate that water, which will kill all the other stuff as well. So there's kind of a double cleansing there you can do with those two things. I know it's off topic, but I wanted to bring it up since talked about vegetables.
Awesome. Yeah. And then I bought a few of your, it's three beads and then silver wire running through it. You know, because we got to keep hydrated. There's a really good podcast on Flyover Conservatives with Brian Artis talking about glyphosate and hydration. I think I'll just go with hydration first, where people who go to the hospital, the first thing they do is they put I think they call it a saline drip or like a bag. And most of it is just salt because pretty much everybody's dehydrated. And are lacking, and hydration isn't just drinking water. You have to have the minerals, amino acids, and the nutrients. And now Artis does have a product in his online store, and then it's the usual things like you would have salt and I forget what the other nutrients were, but like basic stuff, salt being the primary one. But
I think you're thinking of electrolytes.
Yeah, that's the other term. Thank you. But I think potassium is another one, the essential amino acids. But the Derek, maybe you could tell us more about the three beads and then the silver wire running through it and what that does to the water. And would that be considered hydration, or would we still need to get electrolytes and then salt and these other things?
Oh, yeah, I can kind of go backwards there. Yeah, I'd probably still try and get, in fact, Nancy and I were talking about that here recently. She brought it up about electrolytes, and she can get in that if she wants to as well. But I would definitely add those or have something with I got a drink right here next to me with 1,390 milligrams of electrolytes, apparently. So I would do that, but not again to go in reverse. The three beads he's talking about was silver, so we call them shungite water beads. And those beads, so shungite 8-millimeter beads that are all tumbled in that cosmic silver shungite tumbler, so the rock tumbler. We actually tumble the beads in there for the 3 days, pluck them out, and then we get the silver, the 99.9% pure silver wire, and actually kind of wind the three beads together. So now you have the little trifecta of them. You have the three beads. So I'm trying to give a visual. And it kind of looks like a little knot in the middle of it, but it's all pure silver. And it's just a way to hold them together. So structurally, it's a thing as well with the number three. And again, that's a whole nother topic as well for lots of understandings on that, but always beneficial. And then that not only has the cosmic silver shungite beads in there, but the continual effect of the silver wire, which just physically speaking, the silver has an effect, a positive effect on harmful bacteria, viruses, all sorts of stuff that can be in your water. Even if you have clean water and you had that cup sitting out for a while, well, there's stuff in the air. And I know this because I do what's called spore testing in rooms with little petri dishes. You leave them out for moments, and then just the ambient air getting in there, you can close it. A couple of days later, you're going to see these funguses and molds growing in your petri dish. And I'm just bringing that up because there's no avoiding that. It's everywhere. So that's a thing. But you can have an effect on it by keeping or minimizing that effect by having your shungite water beads in your vessel and leaving that. So that, again, that three beads with the silver wire, and they should really last a lifetime. Now everybody's water is different. So I have to kind of throw a caveat out there that depending on the mineralization in your water, who knows, but generally speaking, there's never been an issue and they just last. You can boil them if you need to. So if for some reason you had them outside, so indirect sunlight, well, there's going to be biofilm and stuff like that that grows out there because that's what the sun does, and there's living things everywhere. So you can, again, take your shungite water beads or nuggets and boil them, put them in a glass of, pour some boiling. Don't put them in the microwave, but put the water in the microwave, get it out, and drop the nuggets or beads in that, or on a stovetop, of course, to clean them up. But no, they should last in a lifetime, and they'll have an effect on all of that.
Okay, we could get into the glyphosate thing.
Well, affecting, wait a minute, all the time, except if you put them in a dish outside, the animals are attracted to it, and it'll disappear.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how much shungite I've lost because I've had it in water bowls outside.
Or a bird bath in our case.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it walks. Or from trees, I'll pick in the trunk or the little nook of a tree up there or something. And, oh, yeah, it walks. Oh, yeah, critters like it.
Where do they end up putting them? They take them and take them to their nest or their home?
I would think so. We had raccoons that kept taking them, and they would just walk away with them. They put them in their mouth, walk away, because I got cameras everywhere, depending on if I'm talking about at the store or home or property, whatever. Some just to watch the beehives, but no, they'll walk up, reach right up on the beehive and pluck a shungite nugget off the entrance and just walk away with it. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, they're drawn to it. They want it for a reason.
Well, I have raccoons. I mean, I'm in a city, but we have 6 acres of, land that the raccoons are in. And it's the weirdest thing because there's been like 3 raccoons that have come up right beside the house and died. Now, you would think that a raccoon with places to hide and stuff, if it's feeling bad, would have gotten in that. But no, they were attracted to the house. And I've always wondered, was it because of the amount of shungite I've got inside and outside that house that they were there for a healing thing? So it may just be that we don't know, we can't limit the understanding of animals. They may be attracted because they feel better about it, around it.
Yeah, they didn't run from it. They came toward it, regardless if they were trying to heal or it was their time to transition. Either way, they wanted in that energy. So, yeah. And they didn't have any judgment. They just knew it feels good. Want it. They didn't know what shungite. Could have been a chunk of coal for the animals. Yeah, so it's an energy thing. And yeah, they don't just grab everything. I know raccoons got little nimble hands and fingers. I've dealt with them and had some my entire life, so I'm very aware of them. And yeah, they're definitely drawn to shungite, and so horses, big time. We got a lot of people that come by big chunks of shungite, and I try and keep a couple on the Cosmic Shungite store available, but 2, 3, 4, 5 pound pieces, so a big chunk, so that you can retrieve it if you're like, say, cleaning the horse or animal. It doesn't matter if it's a horse or goat or pig or whatever, the water trough. Some people throw it in their pigs, and yeah, they get not lost, but stuck in there. The mud pits, there's by shungite. I'm going to grid my shungite, the pig pit or something or other. But long story short, there's a big old mud pit in their backyard. The 600 pound pigs can play in, and they just shungite gridded it. Yeah. So I doubt they'll see those pieces again anytime soon, but those pigs are enjoying it.
Okay. Let me read this thing here on glyphosate. Oh yeah, the podcast I was mentioning, artist was talking about how glyphosate Roundup has 9 different kinds of venoms in it, and Roundup Plus is 11. And then we did cover 2 weeks ago on that podcast here what shungite can do to glyphosate. But Dr. Jack Cruz did a whole thing of glyphosate here. Glyphosate inhibits melanin production. This means glyphosate causes one to lose control of metal chelation that controls mitochondrial pathway selection in humans. Centralized PhDs, MDs are big food and big pharma technicians with bad attitudes and ignorant beliefs. Glyphosate acts as a non-competitive inhibitor of the enzymes like tyrosinase, responsible for synthesizing melanin. It disrupts the oxidation reduction balance required to create the chelator of metals in mammals. So the subtext there is he was one of the first people to, and there is a recent paper, I can't really quote it, but that, so plants have photosynthesis. The human version of photosynthesis is the darkening of our skin, the melanin. And what the melanin does is reduce EMFs and ejects out heavy metals. And glyphosate, which is everywhere, and I mentioned before, Morley Robbins, countless interviews out there where the French people banned glyphosate in their country, yet pretty much all of them have glyphosate in their blood. So that tells you how much more do we have it here, you know, especially if you live near golf courses, that's even more kinds of herbicides, pesticides, whatever. And so there for a general usage, like just being around because the air being contaminated, and then how do we unglyphosate our food? Obviously, the silver song got magnet on the fridge. But like when we go to a restaurant, do we put it near shungite for like how many seconds? What's the general, what can we use in your store? Now, I say your store all the time because you're one of the few people that has silver shungite combination, which most shungite people don't even know what that is. In as much as now it's like a common household name. Yeah, so what do you recommend? Like going to a restaurant or just having something on our person as we're breathing pretty much air that has glyphosate in it?
Yeah, I mean, I always have, you know, in my case, a pendant and or usually both, a braces, so it's in my environment. And then the biggest thing is just no matter what, throughout your day and night, just drink shungite water so that you have a continual detoxing effect or getting that positively charged, aligned water. Also, you can call it living water. I know that's used in another way, but it is. Through your system so that what does get in you, you can then get rid of, chelate out, you know, detox and things like that. So that's the biggest thing because, again, I don't believe for a second we're all going to avoid it all and nobody's saying that, glyphosate or the next glyphosate that comes out or the next one. There's, welcome to our reality. There are harmful toxins. We're mixing and matching chemicals together in not great ways. So that's a thing. Until it's not, we can have an effect on it. So just know that it's there and, you know, there's no need to go into fear or anything, but just the more you know, the more of an effect you'll have. So in the restaurant, again, that's one of the reasons we added the chain to the water beads. So then it, you know, you could hook it on your water there, your drink, your lemonade, whatever the heck you're drinking, the shungite water beads, and have an effect on that. And I guess the other thing you could do is if you have, again, that the convenient 5x7 piece of shungite rubber, put it under your dinner plate, something like that. Because I don't know how many times I've heard stories now. One that stands out is a lady telling me, and she didn't know anything about it. She had lunch, cut an avocado in half, just randomly had a piece of shungite rubber under the part of the napkin, a paper towel, that she left half the avocado on. And the other one, it wasn't a test she was doing, gave it no thought whatsoever, came back, and all of a sudden that piece that was on the shungite rubber just above it, with nothing but a paper towel between it, didn't rot. It was just still green and edible. I think the whole story was she made herself lunch, left, and just didn't clean up or something. And so it wasn't a typical thing, but she found out that way. So meaning it absolutely has an effect because your food is energy. It's just loosely being held together to form that biscuit, that noodle, that sandwich, whatever's on your plate at the time. And technically speaking, those molecules aren't even touching, just like you. And that's, again, a whole nother podcast. But when you talk physics, there's so much space between each molecule. Well, that space is what we call energy, and it's programmable. So literally, the more the person having that meal is in awareness, it doesn't mean you need to sit there and focus and this, that. If that's your thing, fine. But I'm just saying, just knowing it's a thing and then knowing, well, then if I had this shungite piece of rubber, for example, like we're talking about under my plate here, there is zero chance it cannot have an effect on all of this stuff we call energy. And that actually gives it an extra boost because now you're a participant with intention, already scientifically proven, our thoughts can affect energies. So don't just set the shiny rubber there. Know it. Know that it's doing it. It just is. That's how it works even stronger. So that's what I would do. Because again, you don't know what's in your food, where it came from. It's organic. I don't care if it's stamped organic or not. And what's organic mean anyway now? So, but those are the ways I would have an effect on it. And your drink can sit on shungite rubber too. I mean, we've had shungite coasters out there, and they'll come back at some point where it's just a water coaster for your table. You can put your drink on that. So that's probably how I would do the restaurant part.
Oh, thank you. That makes sense. I wanted to read something here. Nancy, did you have something to add on that? Nope. I follow a guy on X who's let me see if I can get this right, CEO of the Russian Direct Investment Fund and special envoy of the President of Russia for Investment and Economic Cooperation. He's been known to let me read first what the reason why I'm bringing this up. He's doing a repost of what the president mentioned. I think it was late last week. Yeah, I can't see a date. It was the what do you call it? Truth Social post from the president. Based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life. Unidentified aerial phenomena and unidentified flying objects and any and all other information connected to these highly complex but extremely interesting and important matters. And yeah, we got like the Disclosure Day movie coming out and a couple other things like that similar. And I've mentioned on the show before that Ben Rich, I think he worked for Skunkworks, was one of the lead people saying that we have the technology to take ET back home and that we know how to travel to the stars. This was at the UCLA School of Engineering alumni speech back in March 93. And you know, over the years, you guys have talked about on the Cosmic Reality radio station, the other shows, of different kinds of interactions. And just wanted to get your take on that. It was a repost from the Russian, what was it again? Investment Economic Cooperation, and he's done past posts of aligning Trump to the Q movement thing numerous times, but now that this big one about potential release of information. So I wanted to get your guys' take on that.
I can chime in, Nancy. I didn't know if you wanted to for it or not. I'll go quickly and then just, you know, jump in any if you want to, Nancy. On the release of the information, well, he can have the government, remember that was the key word in there, release whatever, but the government doesn't have the stuff anyway. It's private companies that did that for a reason. So because they don't have to give Congress, report to Congress, tell them what they're doing with it, this, that, and the other. So it's private companies have it. Much of it is what's, I assume, going on. So they don't have to report back. And that's why, regardless if they released it, I'm not like booing the whole thing by any means. I mean, release everything you got. But in my personal opinion, I think it's going to be more just the drone stuff that they keep talking about. So you're not seeing them release photos of a pilot flying by and all of a sudden some little green guy waving through a cockpit window of a drone. No, they're showing you little tiny things that are shooting what we're calling drones right now in our civilization. So a remote operated thing. And I know I've heard the stories about they have biologics and I know all that. I get that. It's crashed craft. Some have been shot down. I mean, stuff happens over the years, but when they have anything of real consequence in it, it was given right off. I think this is common knowledge anyway, off to the private corporations that don't have to, you know, report to Congress on things. And that's words and terms that they don't even know anyway. So congressmen and senators and things like they don't even have the vocabulary of what to ask for. And I've even heard that in a news conference where they're not even sure. And well, that's fine. Because then when they do bring these, and they have brought in these big corporations from Skunkworks to Lockheed Martin, all them, there's other parts to that. We usually, when we hear that on the news, we're Lockheed Martin. Whoa, it's not just one company. there's a whole lot more behind that and other parts and pieces. So it's just a bigger picture, but I definitely understand our limited perspective because it's what the news tells us.
Well, what he said was he was going to release all government.
Yep, that's what I was saying. Okay. So I'm not holding my breath on much.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, I don't know.
Representative Luna has been coming out for the last, I would say, 9 months. See, this is a whole process of disclosing this information. They're going to, by the end of the year, you're going to know that there's ETs, or maybe the next year. But you're going to know that there's ETs because she began to say, yeah, there's ETs out there and we've got biological proof of it. And mechanical, we've got the spacecraft that have crashed. She was saying it. And so Obama came out on a podcast and said, well, yeah, there's ETs, but I don't know much about them. And when Trump was asked about that, he said, well, Obama just broke his, he related his secret. He's not supposed to tell people that. And there was a big uproar in the, what's this all about? And so Trump says, all right, listen, I'm going to get Obama off the hook. I'm going to make it all unclassified. That's a story that they put out regarding why he has gone and done that. Okay. Now, she came out and she said, look it, we don't know everything, but what we know, the American people should know, and that's that ETs are real. So there's enough in the government documents, Eric, Derek, I think, to take a really big step into disclosure. No, you will have, it's nothing like you think it is. You know, listen to me, I can tell you a hell of a lot more about it than you're going to hear. But it's a way of disclosing it to the population a little bit at a time. Make sense?
I think the only ones that'll be surprised will be the ones that have just had their head in a hole the whole time.
Well, I agree. I mean, they've done, you know, surveys, and people say, yeah, there's ETs. There was somebody, you know, going through the, just the people on the street and talking about conspiracy stuff. And he asked these two women, well, do you think that there's extraterrestrials? Well, yeah, sure. They're young kids. And what do they look like? And they looked at each other and they went, well, I don't think they exactly look human, you know? And the other one said, yeah, you remember those pictures, you know, of E.T., the whatever they call them. And she's talking about the grays, I think. So even what they have, even the understanding that a lot of people have, is nothing like it really is. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, we'll see when it all comes out, apparently, what they want to show. Oh, yeah.
And it's going to come out.
I mean, I'm not even, the stuff on all eventually, because I'm going to start here relatively near future with the Psychic Without Warning podcast, which is psychicwithoutwarning.com website for the listeners, where I talk about some of my UFO experiences that I have not talked about. I haven't hidden them. I'm talking about other stuff. With others, with me, I mean, all sorts of things. So I'll start talking about some of that stuff on that podcast in the near future, but I'm far from the only one. I tried to do the math the other day on the last 6 years, Nancy, and how I've been doing sessions, but I went through a couple different scheduling platforms, so it's hard to know the number, but I'll just say it's well over 1,000 personal sessions I've done with clients, and I'm bringing that up because of the stories I hear in them. About, well, what do I do with this? And then it goes on and on. I won't get into it now because it's endless. But the stuff and the stories that people just can't wrap their heads around, or they're with others and looking at the same thing, and one person just doesn't see it, and say three, not just one, so it's four people in this example, and all four of them are looking up at the same thing, but one of them just doesn't see it. It's just not in her reality. It's not anything she could wrap her head around. So it was literally. And I'm sure there's a a medical term for that, but it was invisible to her. And everybody else in the vehicle, again, just this quick little story here. It was 100%. It saw it. It went on and on. And again, not people out cruising the town. This is downtown Seattle, looking for UFOs, but it did. And it happened. And then again, I have my own stories I'll get into. With the others with me, definitely saw the same thing. It wasn't a figment of anybody's imagination unless it manifested. But yeah, so I think there's going to be more in those stories will come out.
Well, I've been doing the Woo reality show. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast that I'm eventually going to put into a book. And there's a weird thing that happens because I'm talking about like a time where I was at the University of Massachusetts in this Delta Wing vehicle flew right over it was an open area between the dormitories and the dining hall. And it flew right through there at about, well, I was on the third floor when we saw it, and I saw it with a group of people. And I would say that it was like at the 18th floor of these two towers that were to our east, and it flew right between the two towers. And I knew somebody that was on the balcony when it flew by. He said, I could have reached out and touched it. Okay, but what I'm going to get to is that there were five people in the room that saw this. And it started out with one person saying, Starlight, Star Bright, what the heck is that? And it was like a diamond light that you saw. And then it kind of rotated so that it flew right by us. And it was big. It was gunmetal blue. Really a strange thing. But nobody talked about it. You got five people that are college people that are supposed to be kind of like, you know, interested in life. Nobody talked about it, including me. It's like sometimes you go through these things and you go blank. Your mind just goes blank. You don't know what to do with the information coming in. And so you don't even have a question. Nobody says anything. And that's been a repeated effect every time I've seen woo-woo stuff. You know, it's like, so it that person that didn't see it because it's not in their reality. It's just like you said, you know, it's like, I don't know what this is. And when you, it's almost like your brain goes non-compute. So there's a lot of people out there that when they finally start talking about all this stuff being real, may in fact all of a sudden go, oh my God, I saw one of those things. I know what they're talking about. So we don't know the limit of how much information is really, you know, being held by the population. It's going to be an interesting thing to see.
Yep. I guess we just hold on and see what they disclose.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. A big thing recently is C60 and shungite, where people are ingesting C60. I know it's been a topic previously, but it's always good to update these things, where even shungite doesn't need to have C60 for its magic to work, for what it does, right? Maybe you could clarify for, and Nancy, your book clarifies it, and Derek's book does too, but maybe a more updated version of your guys' take.
Well, I mean, you're having an effect on energy. So if people start talking about ingesting, I mean, then you're just limiting going physical. So, I mean, the way I use shungite is energetically, again, pendants, necklaces, water beads, things like that. And the water beads aren't filtering anything. So it's all coming from the energy aspect of it rather than physical. And there is, again, carbon-60 molecules within shungite. And I don't care if it's just one of them or 1 million of them in any given piece. It's having an effect energetically because it's not a volume thing. That's, again, a physical aspect we're looking at. So I use the poor description of saying, you know, you can hear music on a little tiny radio, just like a big old 80s boombox on your shoulder. You can still hear or perceive that frequency that we call music at that time. So the same logic crosses over to using shungite. So that's why you can have it externally on the pipes, like Nancy was saying, or even in the water beads or coasters or whatever. And I personally would not purchase what, and they're called, it's lots of different forms, but long story short, there's different manufacturers trying to accumulate the carbon 60 molecules, either from something or making them themselves. And there's lots of ways, by shooting certain carbons and papers with lasers and catching what we would call the soot, because much of the soot, if you were to burn a bunch of paper and things or wood that you gather, is has carbon 60 molecules, because they have to be made in a extreme flame or temperature or space. Those are the ways those molecules are put together. So again, when people are talking about ingesting them, they're looking at the physical aspect alone. I mean, your energy, you're not physical. Again, we talked about it earlier, you're not, your molecules aren't even touching. That's not even a thing. So we're really just energy, an energy being holding together parts and pieces of this physical reality. And then it looks like a body at times. And that's a whole nother topic too. So again, just it's everybody's understanding. So they don't know that reality works that way. And again, I'm layman's terms here completely, just so we can all wrap our heads around it and even speak about it. We're not physical beings. We're energy ones. So if always act at the top when you're looking at something or using shungite, no matter what, oh, well, then I don't need to put it in this vehicle. And remember, I keep calling our bodies a vehicle, because in essence, that's what it is. I think everybody listening knows that. Then it you're going to have more of an effect by not limiting yourself that way. So always, I don't consume, I don't buy jars, and there's lots of names for this stuff, and I don't want to name any of them right now, where people are ingesting them. Well, you don't need to, and there are studies where it's shown that those molecules can accumulate in certain organs of the body. That's a thing as well, and you don't know in any given spoonful or dropper or whatever form it's being sold in, sometimes powders, not always, you know, what's actually in there and what's going on. So I would assume on any of those products there's going to have to be warnings of some kind, but I don't personally, the closest thing to ingesting would be the shungite honey, where some of the versions of the honey, we actually put the shungite water beads in the jar of organic honey, and that way, so then it's basically energetically affected that honey. And yeah, by removing or breaking apart the glyphosate, not that there's glyphosate in our, because we use organic honey, but let's say you have your honey you bought from store A, B, and C, and you can't get the, and you know it's organic and treatment free, and even that, you know, not always the case, throw your water beads in there and know it's affecting it energetically. And then nobody really needs to get stuck in the C60 versus shungite argument, because that'd be limiting your argument or conversation to the physical aspects of it. And we're really focused on the energy aspects.
Yeah, Mark, you said something that's absolutely not true that I believe. I believe that the reason that shungite works is because of the C60. The difference here is that when you are working with shungite, there's not that much C60 in it. It's not like a bottle of C60, and it's like anything else. A little bit goes a long way, but more of it can kill you. So to say, well, it's in shungite and C60 must be safe. C60 is safe in shungite because it's working just like Derek explained, energetically. But if you're just drinking C60, God bless you, you're a fool. You're drinking too much of something that it's like Derek said, you know, some of the C60 is ending up not getting purged from the body. And who knows what happens then? So, no, I am totally against that stuff.
I don't, that's good. Nancy, I don't know that most people know this. This comes from my commercial deep sea diving days. But I mean, technically, everything's toxic. Oxygen is toxic, everyone. You have too much oxygen. I'm talking about the O2 you're breathing out there. You will die from it. That is a thing. So when I had training in my what they call decompression chambers, again, for the offshore diving days, we'd have to come up, jump into a big metal container and pressurize and breathe oxygen for certain. Well, there were sure strict limits on how long that diver was wearing that oxygen mask for how long. And let me tell you, I've seen the results of where it was left on. The guy fell asleep. It didn't come off. It couldn't, blah, blah, blah. Well, he starts not good visuals, I'll say, flopping around in there in not a good way from oxygen toxicity. So everything is toxic in the wrong amounts. And then, yeah, that's C60 as well. So just look at it energetically. And then you'll have much more of an effect. Again, even in that knowing that can't be understated. And you can call it placebo effect, you can call it anything you want, but that believing or knowing is the part of us. So we're tuning certain frequencies when we're having those thoughts that affect the metaphysical reality. And that can be worded 20 ways again, but that's a thing. And just knowing that, and it's not sitting in a special yoga pose during it. It's, again, just making fun of things here, but it's just in the thoughts. The knowing, it's not, because I've heard everywhere, you got to have your right hand here, your left hand here. I'm like, what? You know what you're talking about here. It's, but, you know, but ultimately, if somebody feels that that's the right way, well, that's, that can be a helpful thing too. But really, it's all in your intention and your thoughts. So knowing it has an effect, and it'll have more of an effect. Again, placebo effect, not, that placebo effect's not fake. That's the beauty of it. It's so real, and it's all an energy thing.
Well, not only that, but when they test this, you know, the placebo against any given drug, the placebo wins 76% of the time. So why the hell are you studying the drug? Study the placebo effect.
You can't charge for beliefs, for thoughts.
That's exactly why. And that's why we're here, to tell you, no, you can trust your thoughts. Don't trust the drug.
But I wouldn't even buy a C60 cream or lotion.
Nothing.
Or something like that.
Nothing,
no.
Because again, because of your description of intention, okay? Well, when you put out, and C60 is, like I say, I think it's the secret behind this way that shungite works. And yes, shungite has every element in the, you know, the table of elements. So it's got all the energies right there. And the C60 is enhancing them, is coalescing them, is condensing them into something that works very effectively with the human body and everything else. So when you're getting this stuff from a lab, you don't know what the conditions are of the energetics around it. They could have a bunch of maniacs working there that's putting that energy into the C60. The C60 isn't going to say, well, that's good or that's bad. Shungite does. Shungite does, because shungite is a special gift to the planet. The first vestiges of life is where the shungite bed is. Now, I'm saying vestiges of life. That means, you know, like your plants. Somebody says, oh, you know, human beings. I didn't say human beings. I said vestiges of life on the planet. The oldest recorded plant debris, let's say, on the planet is found in and around the shungite. It gave the life force to the planet. So, you know, people, please don't use this phony C60. You're going to be a lot safer. If you want to use it, go for it. I can't tell you, you know, I'm just telling you that my experience, and I've been here a while playing with this stuff, tells me, no, I don't want to. I've never gotten near it. Nope, wouldn't do it. Well, we're kind of over the hour. Mark, did you have something else that you wanted to bring up?
I think that's a good ending. I don't know if Derek has any website updates, events, interviews coming up he wants to mention.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The only thing I have coming up is, I don't have a date yet, is, but we have reached out to one of our local sheriff's departments where that Lyndon B accident happened. Many of you might remember that happened last year. So we've reached out to them as far as we're putting together. Thanks in great part to, I have to put a, you know, shout out to Levi again on that, helping make this happen. But we're actually getting the first emergency B responder kit together, and we've reached out to have them maybe get us a sheriff's patch and a shield, it would be called, but some of it was a badge for the front of it, so that before we do the gifting of the whole kit and suits and everything that goes with it, and we'll do a podcast on this. It'll be, you know, they'll be identified as a sheriff's deputy even when they're in the B suit. So we're going through those steps right now as far as figuring out a date. I'm going to go chat with the sheriff himself, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I just wanted to let people know that is all happening in the background. It's just a timing thing now because he is a sheriff. You know, they're pretty busy. So we're going to work it all out, though, and I'll have updates in the future.
Oh, somebody was asking about in Mystical, where's the website? You used to have the Scalar Weekly Healing. Is there going to be an update on that being on the news site or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Not now, because basically, long story short, is I'm limited in room and space to even have the Scalar unit, believe it or not, because it's something that would need to be set up. And I know you know, Mark, I think you have one. You can visualize it and see. But even that, so for now, basically what I'm saying is the free Scalar weekly sessions are on pause indefinitely until I find a new, which is also, unfortunately, my in-person sessions. So I only do remote ones now because I don't have an office, which is also sort of part of the room I used for the Scalar session. So until I get that worked out and I don't have a time frame, the free weekly sessions, Scalar sessions are gone, and I'm only doing remote. And just for those that are listening, remote makes no difference if you're in person or remote with me on a session. As we've been talking about all these podcasts, everything can be perceived, you know, right over the session. It makes no distance. Distance doesn't make a difference, I should say. But I am doing those. So not right now, Mark, unfortunately.
To sign up for your sessions, you go to the... I think it was Bigfoots, and that's plural, bigfootsgems.com. I believe it's on that. I didn't see it on the Shanghai Cosmic.
Yeah, I don't advertise it. So really it's going to be, and it should be up on Bigfoots today, but it is on psychicwithoutwarning.com and Cosmic Shungite, but you have to click the About Us page. Because it's, you know, it's a Shanghai store. It's not a Derek store, but I do want to give, you know, people the option to link to the sessions. So for listeners, click on the About Us page on any of our websites, even the nonprofit website. I have 7 sites out there and I won't go through them all right now. And they're all active and running different things. But basically on the About Us page, you just click on that on any of them. Again, except actually Bigfoots, because I just updated that yesterday. But it will end up on there where... But that's where you can find the sessions link for me.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Also, a past guest, Cassie Spray, we've had on 2-3 times. She has 2 new books. Nancy, I put in the Shanghai group, but people who want to check it out on her site, orafimshanghai.com. It's ORAPHIM. And in the search bar, just put in book, and then it comes up. But in the Shanghai Reality Facebook group, I posted the actual links and descriptions. That should be it for me.
Yeah, good. I'll put it underneath this because I looked for it and I couldn't find it. You couldn't find them. I thank you guys for being here. We will see you guys out there listening to us next time. And just be safe, stay warm, and anything else from you guys?
Nope. Same right back at you. I appreciate you all being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Get some morning sunlight to boost up the melanin and energize your mitochondria. Blue blockers at night. If not, have one of Derek's silver shungite on you to block out those artificial radiation of the lights. Thanks, everybody.
Be safe. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.